All right, so this is healing service. So we're going to kind of instruct you and of course, also minister healing to those that need that, as well as we'll make available prayer cloths for people to get prayed over and take to others who may be needing ministry as well. So we believe in that. We believe that you can pray over cloths and materials and an anointing can be transferred. And that people, you put them on the bodies or people are sick, that they will be receive the anointing, the same healing anointing that was on Jesus will be in that cloth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So today we're talking about the Lord is our healer. Amen. Exodus 15:26 says, he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, I'm reading out in the Living Translation, obeying his commandments and keeping all his decrees, then I will make you, I will not make you suffer any of these diseases I send on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. God still staked that claim back long ago, and he still is staking that claim and sticking to that claim today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Exodus 23:25-26. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. None of you shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land, and you will fulfill the number of your days. Amen. That means you're not going to die early. You're not going to be unfruitful if you want to have children. You know, Pastor Cynthia and I have prayed for 10 people on record that had miscarriages and, lost their babies numerous times before. Even one who just left us, there in wherever they went, to Colorado or Arizona. We prayed for them. I mean, there's an anointing on us to minister to those who need or believe in God to have children. I said, so if you don't want to have babies, don't let us pray for you. Because we're 100% success rate right now. We're 10 for 10. Hallelujah. And baby cometh if we lay hands on you. Amen. So I'm just setting your faith for that. God has put a special anointing on us to help people who are challenged with having kids to be able to have kids. Praise God. Praise God. So this scripture here promises us that you won't be barren. Amen. Or miscarry. Amen. When people had situations where they were about to miscarry, we prayed, intervened, we caught that baby and held that baby in there to a decent amount of time during the term of the pregnancy. Amen. Amen. Because this belongs to us. And he said, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. Praise God. So last week we learned God, the Lord, is our refuge and our strength. Amen. So our Father God is a very present help in time of trouble. So these are truths that we need to embrace and engage in. We need to know and experience the Lord that is my refuge and my strength. Amen. So today we're going to just do a reboot, refresh, reset for the big, big redemption truth of the fact that the Lord is our healer. So these opening scriptures in Exodus should resound in our hearts that the Lord is our Jehovah Rapha. This was the first redemptive name that God revealed himself to the children of Israel since the creation of the heavens and the earth. When he was creation of heaven and earth, he was Elohim. He revealed himself to Abraham as El Shaddai, but this is one of the first redemptive names to the whole entire children of Israel as a covenant people was Jehovah Rapha. So this word Rapha means heal, physician, repair thoroughly, or to make whole. In other words, God Almighty himself has staked claim and said to you and me, I'm your physician. We would say it today in 2019, I'm your primary care physician. I'm your PCP. I am your doctor. Now, a lot of us have that in the context of our insurance and medical benefits that we may have, perhaps through a job or through the, you know, health marketplace or whatever. But you got to realize and reset your focus on the fact that God is your PCP. He's your primary care physician. That means he's your number one doctor. Amen. You go to him. He is the Lord, our healer. The Lord has a health care plan. We often refer to as heaven's health care that doesn't have any flaws, deficiencies, or dysfunctions. It is perfect, and it cures and heals any and all of our diseases, physical infirmities, impairments, sickness, disabilities, and crippling debilitations. There's nothing that's not covered by heaven's health care. So we are to take him and receive him as our PCP, our primary care physician, and healer. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is also our healer because by his stripes we were healed. So healing and health is right now and will always be the will of God for your life. So let's look at four foundational truths that we'll cover. These are like the four table legs of healing. You need to keep these in top of mind so that when you're dealing with a physical difficulty, this goes takes you back to the foundation to establish the truth that it's God's will for me to be well, to be made whole. Psalms 103, verse 2 and 3, out of the New Living Translation, it says, let all that I am, praise the Lord, may I never forget the good things he does for me. What are those? He forgives all my sins. Amen. Isn't that good? And he heals all my diseases. So notice in this verse in Psalms 103, in the same breath, the psalmist tells us that the Lord forgives us all of our sins, and he heals how many? All of our diseases. So there's nothing left out, nothing left uncovered, no condition that has been exempted that God can't handle and won't take care of. So how can he forgive us and yet not heal us? See, if this passage is true, which it is, and it is, he must do both. He must forgive us of our sins, and he also must heal us of all of our diseases. Isn't that good? Amen. So our Lord's healing promises provide healing of all of our diseases, disabilities, and debilitations. Foundation truth number two, Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And verse number 3 through 5 in the Amplified. I'm going to read it out of Amplified Classic. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has made to light upon him the guilt and iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he was submissive and opened not his mouth, like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now this word means bore. He bore, or he in the King James says he born. This word is the word NASA. Now, most of us are familiar that the NASA headquarters down in Houston is a company or a government agency that has, you know, does space exploration and rockets and space travel and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's what Jesus did with our sins and our sicknesses. That's what he did with our sins and our sicknesses. He, that word NASA means to bear up, to lift off from, to carry away or to take away or take up. So on the cross, Jesus took and bore our sins and our sicknesses. He redeemed us from sin and death to eternal life. He redeemed us from sickness and disease to health and wholeness. Amen. So we see this fulfilled in the following passage and verse in Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When evening was come, they besought him. Many who were brought him. Many who were demon-possessed, and they cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Amen. That it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus healed people of physical sickness, not just spiritual sickness, in order to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. He took our infirmities and our diseases on the same cross that he took our sins. So he took the cause of sin, the root cause of sin, the root cause of every sickness and disease upon him. He took it upon himself so that we don't have to take it anymore. And he took it away from us and off from us. Amen. So healing is part of God's redemptive plan. Healing belongs to you and me. Say that with me. Say, healing belongs to me. Amen. Foundational verse number 4, 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, if you were, then you are. Amen. When did you get healed? When Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, grave. That's when he procured or purchased your healing. Amen. So, friends, you don't have to try to get healed. Amen. Now, religion teaches you got to try to get healed. You got to convince God or beg God or cry out to God enough so you can get healed. No, Jesus got your healing. So your faith is not a getting, it's a receiving. It's a taking delivery of that. Are you listening to me? So we see on the cross, Jesus bore our sins and took our sins so he could make us righteous. He took our stripes on his body so our bodies could be healed. 39 stripes, which represent the 39 major categories of sickness and disease that exist even today. He took all of it so that you don't have to tolerate any of it in your body. Praise God. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he healed all who were sick then, he still can and will heal all who are sick today that come to him in faith. Amen. So if these are true, then how does God do it? Well, we're going to major in today and just principally and practically the faith arena that we bring to the table to not only believe that it's God's will in our to heal us and believe that he's able and willing to heal us, but we receive our healing. Amen? Because faith is a good receiver. Hope is a poor receiver. Hope's a good waiter. And we know that just going to the doctor. We're hoping to get better, feel better. And they might give us some pills or some prescription of something, but that just kind of strings us along, right? We go through therapy in hopes to get better. You need hope. But hope can't take the place of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you need hope. So everybody in here this morning should desire to be well or represent somebody in their family who needs to get well. and you desire for them to get well. But you got to change that to a believing and receiving position. You're not trying to get healed. You're not believing that you're going to get healed. Notice how I said that. You're believing that you receive your healing. If you're believing that you're going to get healed, you're still in hope, and you won't get healed today. Don't believe that I'm going to get better. No, believe that you receive your healing. Amen. I'm being very technical about that, but that's very important to facilitate the working of the power of God, the healing power of God in you. Amen? So here's some important facts about healing that we need to understand. Number one, we got them spelled out, I think, for you. God's healing God's ways begins in your spirit. So we're not talking about practical healing, natural healing. There's a lot of good information out there about that. But we're talking about divine healing. Everybody say divine healing. Divine healing. That means God's involved in the healing process. He is your healer. Divine healing is spiritual because God is a spirit, and he begins with spirits. It's a spiritual grace that has been provided for us. Healing is spiritual. So divine healing or healing God's way is spiritual. It's not mental, not metaphysical, not psychological, not pharmaceutical or physical. That means we appropriate it by faith, right? So God's method of healing is spiritual, and he heals through the human spirit. So when we pray for you, you're not trying to feel it in your body first. You have to receive it by faith in your spirit. Amen? Because healing begins in your spirit. Amen? So a lot of times you got to take your focus off your pain or your problem in your body and put your focus on God's word and your faith in his word through your spirit. All right? Everybody good? So second fact. Healing can be lost by fear or by disobedience or hindered and held back by doubt and unbelief. Now, we read that in Exodus before, that if you will, what? Serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your Lord. So sometimes there's obedience tied to it because people are stepping outside of the love walk or the forgiveness command, you know, that kind of thing. Or they're in fear. Fear messes up your faith. Fear tolerated means your faith gets contaminated. If you're worrying when I'm going to feel better, worrying when it's going to happen, if you're frustrated, you're not in faith. Because if you're frustrated because this thing keeps nagging me, these symptoms keep gnawing on me, then that's not faith, that's fear-based. That's doubt. That your doubt makes your faith run out, and it robs you of the blessing of healing. Amen? And here's a very important statement. I think we got it in bold there. No one will be able to keep and maintain their healing for very long unless they develop a faith of their own. So after this service, we have 28 scriptures with confessions and some to give you. Why? Because to keep your faith going. Because most people lose their healing through a satanic counterattack than anything else. That means you receive it, you feel manifestations have occurred where, man, there's no more pain there. And then all of a sudden, when the devil starts tapping on your body again, trying to bring that thing back to you, you open the door when your faith is low and your fear is high. Oh, I thought God healed me. I thought God delivered me. That thing comes back on me, and there it is. He comes. He's just bringing them all back on you. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So we want to follow up and we won't be faithful as a church family to say, hey, look, we've given you all these pills to take every day so you can fortify your faith. When the devil comes back and puts that symptom or tries to put that symptom, suggests to you that God didn't heal you because you got a pain shooting through you. You can speak back and talk back to the devil and say, it is written. Amen? Because God won't do two things for us. We said it before. He will not receive for you, and he will not resist the devil for you. So you remember, sin, sickness, Satan, sorrow, shame are all synonymous. So you have to resist sickness just like you resist sin and resist Satan. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So here's the third fact. Healing always comes, but it's not always what? Received. So healing is here right now.
Amen.
Now some people say, well, I don't feel it. Well, it's never a feeling thing. When the word comes, healing comes.
Amen.
The word is pregnant with healing virtue, healing power, delivering power. But it's those that are in faith will believe it and receive it. Amen. So God's word and God's grace makes healing available and accessible to be received. But it's our faith that takes delivery and receives the healing through our spirit. And it affects a healing and brings a cure that undoes and dissolves that sickness and disease in their physical body. Pastor Cynthia and I will probably tell you many, many stories, countless stories. You come to church hurting or some pain or some sickness, and you trust and believe in God. And then the word of God is shared or spoken, or the power of God is manifested, and then, man, that stuff just goes.
Amen?
Amen? And it's been declared that healing's in this house today.
Amen.
So don't leave here without taking your healing.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
So grace makes healing. Faith takes delivery of the healing. With our faith, we boldly claim, we rejoice, we give thanks, we confess that the word of God and the promise of God promises and provides, then the healing power is activated and appropriated in our respective lives. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now let's go back to Matthew 8. We're going to look at the account of healing. I'm going to read out of the King James Version because that's what's in front of me right now. But I'll start at verse 1. Then he came down from the mountain, and great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now notice in verse 2, if you have your Bible, circle, underline, wilt, and then can't. But because you need to understand both contexts of healing. See, leprosy in this case was an incurable, devastating, debilitating disease. And it's like what we call terminal cancer today. And so they had to be quarantined. They had to be kept away from people. And so he was not doubting the Lord's ability. See, you have to have faith that God is able to heal you. Now, a lot of times people probably are not deficient in that faith. They understand that God is able to heal because you've seen it, you've heard it, you've witnessed it before. So you know God is able. Everybody say God is able. Everybody say the Lord is able
to heal me.
Now, his question was on if thou wilt, in other words, if you are willing, Lord. Because this makes healing personal. He personalized it to me. Will God heal me? Yes, you may believe. God can heal. God can do anything. He can do everything. He is God and nobody's like him. But you got to translate that into personal victory that says, God, I know you will heal me now. And so the Lord completed his faith and answered his question. He said, I am willing. He said, I will be thou clean. So his doubt was not in the Lord's ability, but it was on his willingness. And that's where a lot of people are challenged. They don't believe that the Lord is willing to take this sickness or disease or infirmity from them. Everybody say this with me. Say,
thank you, Lord,
that you are able and you are willing to heal me now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's keep going. He said, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. See that? And Jesus said to him, see that thou tellest no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for testimony unto them. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now, he's representing somebody else. His faith is for someone else. And even in this room, you can have faith for someone else in your family that's hurting, grievously tormented, or vexed. Amen.
Amen.
And he said, and Jesus says, I what? Will. Now, notice that Jesus said it again, I will. Now, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means his I will then is still I will now. He said, I will come and heal him. And centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, right there, mark that truth. This is a truth you need to mark. The spoken word is just as powerful as a personal visitation.
Amen.
Some people want the Lord to come down out of heaven and touch their body physically. But all you need is his word and his promise, and that's just as good as Jesus walking into this room and touching you on your head and saying, be healed.
Amen?
Amen? He says, I will, because his word and the Lord and his word are one.
Amen.
He said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to that man, go, and he goeth, and another come, and he cometh. And my servant do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus heard it. He marveled and said to them that followed, verily, verily, I say unto you, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Skip down to verse 13. And Jesus answered unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast what? Believed. See, when you believe, you receive. If you believe God's word, you will receive what God promised in his word. And we've read enough scripture already. I mean, 1 Peter 2:24, one of our instructors in Rhema, Pastor Keith Moore, said the Lord told him, he said, there's enough healing in 1 Peter 2:24 to heal everybody. God's word is power-filled or powerful. Amen? So there's enough power in one scripture to heal everybody.
Amen.
So he said, but as thou believest, go be done unto you. And the servant was healed the selfsame hour. And when Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and her fever left her, and she arose and ministered to them. And when evening was come, he brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Amen. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Now, you're in the Mark chapter 9. Just turn over to Mark chapter 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Lord, thou, he's saying, the Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, saying, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Now here's another one. Here's another side. One we saw where a question was on God's willingness to heal. Now here, the Lord was telling him, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said unto him, what? Two words. I believe. Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to whose faith? According to your faith, be it unto you. And even today, according to your faith, be it unto you. The Goodspeed translation says it this way, you will receive what your faith expects. You will receive what your faith expects. So why isn't healing received? Because it takes faith to believe and faith to receive or take your healing. So you see, Jesus is the living word, and the written word reveals the living word, Jesus Christ. Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So the word is our healer today. It is spiritual, and it demands faith from us to receive and take delivery of. You know, if you take out a dollar bill or a $10 bill, $100 bill, it says this is legal tender. Well, faith is legal tender in the realm of the spirit. So just like most of us who have benefits, medical insurance, some form or fashion, you have a card. And then usually there's a copayment when you go to the doctor or you go pick up some medical prescription. So faith is like our copay when we procure and receive from the doctor's treatment and medical prescription, so to speak, from the Lord. We need faith. Everybody say, I need faith. So our faith in the divine healing is confident believing, bold speaking, and acting upon the word. So I have to minimally do believe and speak, and then the Lord may have me act. So your faith has to be seen or heard to be real faith. Amen? So we need faith to believe and receive our healing. We need faith to resist when the enemy brings doubt, fear, or unbelief to get us to lose our healing or to make us cripple us and make us unable to receive our healing. So what happens? When there's a scruple of conscience, meaning you don't feel like you deserve healing, you can't grip that promise of healing. You can't grab a hold of it. Why? Because your faith is fractured. You're not believing. It's called imperfect faith. Now, fourth important fact. Sometimes divine healing is instant, and sometimes it manifests fully over a course of time. We see that in the scripture, where they were healed the same hour, or they begin to amend. Or like in Mark, it says, they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What does recover mean? Recover means a process of time. They get better. Amen. So our faith and our focus should be on divine healing, not on healing, not on instant healing manifestations. And so we've ministered to people before, and some people's warning, the pain to go away right then, or the problem to get instantly healed. Well, you're not believing for instant manifestations. You're believing to receive healing. That power gets transmitted into you, and then you allow that healing power to do its work in your body. It works a healing and brings a cure to your physical body. Now, your faith gives that power activity or use. Faith gives action to the power of God. Amen? So if you're sick today, you know, there's divine healing where your health is restored. Because what is sickness? It's simply an absence of health. That means your health needs to be restored. There's divine healing. Then there's divine health. That means some of us will go to another degree of not getting sick. How about going the whole 2020 and not having sickness? Not having to take one aspirin or one Tylenol all year long. That's available for us, for our faith to go to that level. And then, of course, divine life. That means you people hang around you and they don't get sick. Now, we've touched that to a certain degree, and like Brother Hagin would do with the one guy, he said he was diabetic. He said, you won't register any high sugar levels when you're with me all week long. The guy was in with him. He was a minister. He had diabetes, and but he was in the car with him. And he said when I was with Brother Hagin, he said, I could eat steak and pie and anything I want. Why? Because Brother Hagin was walking in divine life. That means he was emanating such a power that resisted sickness and disease, his faith could cover the other guy. Well, we got some ways to go to that. Amen? But you can use your faith to go to that level. Praise the Lord. So the healing power of God today will be ministered to you by the laying on of hands. Now, how does God do it? Well, he does it several ways. And we call it several pathways of God's, the way he does it. Now, two of them we're not going to dive into, but one of them we will, and then we're going to pray for people in just a second here. So pathway number one is God initiate. That means there are times when God just is sovereign. He does it all on his own. Those are usually gifts of the Spirit. We see at the pool of Bethesda, we've got the scriptures in there for you to kind of look at. God just came down. It was random. We didn't know. They didn't know what time, what day, when. But God would send an angel down to stir the water, and whoever went in the water got healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. And of course, that's God initiating. Well, he's our creator, and he's also our healer. And then the other one is that we're not going to talk about is wisdom initiated, meaning that's number three. So wisdom initiated means that the Holy Spirit tells you things pertaining to your health and wellness. Dietary limitations or things that you need to consider eliminating or adding to your diet to help you in your health and wellness. We've talked about Brother Copeland with the coffee. He had to get delivered from the coffee because his body was not responding well to the caffeine and the ingredients in coffee. Others have other things they need to, like getting good sleep and rest. Because that's a restorative or healing process as well, getting 8 hours of sleep. So God will talk to you about your sleep. Because Brother Copeland said one time, he said, Dr. Don Covert down in Florida, his doctor, who is really an apostle of healing, he's a medical doctor. But he told him, he said, your body has this much amount of sleep debt. I mean, you know, you're talking about pillars of health. You need water and you need sleep and rest, like one and two. Mm-hmm. And he told him, he said, you have over a year and a half worth of sleep debt that you need to pay back. Now, sometimes we know we got financial debt, but what about sleep debt? Are you sleeping good enough for your body's own restorative and healing processes to kick in and work in through your life? No, that's wisdom in this, because the Holy Spirit will tell you, hey, you're not sleeping well enough or good enough or long enough. you know, for me personally, you know, he talked about ice cream and on occasions, or, you know, desserts. You need to, you know, how we need discipline around, you know, those sugary products. And, of course, you know, those kinds of things, sodas. Those are wisdom things. Amen. I know you can decide all you want to, but the wisdom will show you, hey, this is not good for you. This is not healthy for you long term. Stay away from it, or you need to eat more green vegetables, you know, that kind of thing. Spinach, kale, some of the broccoli. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory to God. But today we're going to talk about faith. Real quick, let's turn to Mark 11, 22-24. And these are the principles we're going to use. Everybody say, I'm ready to receive my healing in Jesus' name. All right, Mark 11:22. Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in who? So who is God? Our healer. Everybody say, he's my healer. So your faith is not in me. Amen? Some people put their faith in the person. I'm going to see if you can do anything. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I can't do anything. I can't even heal a fly or a gnat. So don't put your faith in me. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take your eyes off me. Put your faith in God. Because who is your healer? The Lord is your healer. All right, keep going. But I surely say unto you, whosoever says unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he what? Says. So this is faith by saying. You have to say it. Remember, believing and speaking is your faith in action. Right? So minimally, you have to say it. So when we say, will you be healed when I lay hands on you? If you don't say anything, you don't get anything. If you don't release your faith and say, yes, because even those two blind men said, yea, Lord. And Jesus walked across those two words, and he touched their eyes, and they were completely healed. Your faith has to be released. Now, I will release my faith when I pray for you. But you have to release your faith, too, to receive, amen, God's healing touch into your life and power into your life. Amen? Verse 24, keep going. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you what? What are you believing? That you receive them and you will have them. So let's break this down. You desire to be well. We're going to pray. But when we pray, you have to do what? Believe that you. Now, here's the catcher. Some people believe that they're going to get healed. Well, I'm telling you right now, no. You're not going to get healed because you're still believing out there in some time. When you pray, you have to believe that you receive your healing right then. When do you receive your healing? When you believe that you receive. When do you get the healing power working in you? After you believed that you receive. Amen. So focus your faith on receiving. That word is also taking. So it's like, I take it now. Amen. You lay hold on it. Praise the Lord. Everybody good? All right. Just a little bit more points, and then we're going to pray. Therefore, Hebrews 10, 35, 36, don't cast away your confidence, for it has great reward. So when you're in faith, you don't change. You don't switch. You don't talk ugly. You hold fast, for you have indeed of endurance, so after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So revelation is spiritual truth, which we've been teaching, from the Word. The Holy Spirit will take this and reveal it to your heart so you can believe. There's enough faith in here to be healed this morning. And realization is when this truth is personally applied. See, revelation is what we're given. You receive revelation, but now you got to go to realization. Realization, when you apply that personally to you. Everybody say revelation and realization. You realize that, hey, the power of God is working in me. So here's some things we must know to persevere in the process of faith, because faith is a process as well. My persuasion of faith is unquestionable. It has to be unquestionable. When I'm in faith, I'm fully persuaded. You're not wavering. You choose to believe God more so than what you see and feel. You might see something ugly on your body. You might feel pain in your body. But choose to believe God. You're fully persuaded. Number two, your profession of faith must be unwavering. That means once we leave church, you don't change it. Your bold confession of faith does not change or cease. If you're quiet, you lose by default. Faith begins by talking. When you pray it, you still have to say it, and you have to keep on saying it. According to the Word of God, I am healed. Amen. The possibilities of faith are unlimited. Anyone or anything can be changed by faith, no matter how big or bad it is. Faith works for anybody and works on anything. Number four, the process of faith is understandable. Now, when we pray for you, the healing power of God will go into you. It will get transmitted into you. But you are responsible to not allow that power to lie within you dormant. You don't short-circuit that power, or you don't squander that power or anointing, because you can do both. Because you can get healing power, but it takes your faith to keep it active, to keep it operating in you, to keep it working mightily in you. Your faith does that. It makes the power work. So if we cut the lights off, the lights are off. Even though the power to those lights, your faith is like the light switch. It keeps the power flowing and going. Everybody here with me so far?
Yeah.
So here's what we do afterwards. After today, during this week. Like I said, we have scriptures we're going to give you. If you have an electronic device, I can probably airdrop them to you. 28 scriptures to follow up and keep your faith fed and focused on your healing. So my degree of reverence toward God. So my faith is in God, the person, and in his word, his promise. So keep your focus on that. So you're supposed to magnify God with his word above all your circumstances and your situation. What does that do? You got to worship God and thank God. Because that helps us zoom out of what's wrong with us and our circumstances and zoom in on what's right with God. Amen. And so by our act of faith to worship God and water our minds and our spirits with the Word of God, we make God bigger than our circumstances, fears, doubts, and struggles. Stay in the place where there's continual flow of revelation knowledge. You got to keep watering it. That's why we're going to give you the scriptures. And the quality of your spiritual supernatural relationships helps you hold fast. So you need faith friends. Amen. To remind you of what the word says and who your Father and the Lord Jesus is to you. He is your healer. Number four, understand that I progress in faith. It's a process, so it may be first the blade, the ear, and the fear cornea. See, if your faith is still being built up, you just want to believe for what's the next step? What's the next level of improvement? You go an hour without pain. Now you go 3 hours without pain. Now you go 6 hours without pain. Now you go a whole day. Now that thing barely exists. You're making progress. Amen? Every delay is in my favor. So delay is not a denial. Faith stands until. Don't allow yourself to be moved by what you see and feel. You deal with disappointments. That means you learn to forget them and then repent of discouragement and depression. Don't allow that sickness or disease to put you back in bondage and fear. Amen? And so my ability to persevere, is magnified in joy demonstrated in the end of my faith. So your celebration is a demonstration of your expectations. When you stop rejoicing, you stop receiving. Praise the Lord. Now, everybody stand with me, if you can. Now, James says, James 5, 13, 16, if anyone's suffering, let him pray. Let anyone cheerful, let him sing songs. Anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. That's who I am. Let them pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So we're going to offer a prayer in faith, and the Lord's going to raise you up today. Are you ready to receive your healing? Are you ready to receive your healing today? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.